This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Bruchim Abon. It's good to see everyone. Baruch Hashem, we're holding after Tisha B'Av, so it should bring everybody only Besurais, Toivais, Yeshuais, Refuais, Simchas, Ad B'Yaskal Tzedek. We're continuing our Shimon Sefer. Devarim Sefer, Devarim is sponsored by Dr. Zakheim, Umeshpachta, Lili Nishmas, Rav Shem Eliezer, Ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Lili Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tzvi HaLevi, and Rav David, Ben Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyin, B'Gan Eden, Tehim Nuchasam, they should be Melitza Yashem for the whole family, Ad B'Yaskal Tzedek. Sefer Devarim is also sponsored by my dear friend Rabbi Isaac Yasilovsky, Leila Nishmas, Shabsi ben Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, and Refuah Shalema for Yafa Malka Esther Basleo, she should have Refuah Shalema, Bekarov, Refuah Sanefesh, Refuah Saguf, Besoich Sharcha LeYisrael. Tonight's shir is dedicated by my dear friend Rabbi David Cohen, Leila Nishmas' grandparents Yartzai, David ben Simcha HaKoyin, Esther Bas Shimon HaKoyin, Began Eden Temenu Chasam. It should be Melitza Yishrom for the whole family, Ad B'Yaskal Tzedek. Tonight's shir is also sponsored anonymously, Le'ilay Nishmas Michla Bas Yechezkel Halevi. Gan Eden Temenu Chasai. Tonight's shir is also sponsored anonymously, as is Chus Refuah Shleima, for Rachel Chela Bas Leia. She should have Refuah Shleima, B'Sar Shachison, and Refuah Shleima for Devoira Bas Eliana Iram. Tonight's shir is also dedicated as a mazel tov for Reb Chaim Zeman, who had a baby girl today, Tisku Legadlo Latar L'Chop L'Masam Tovim. Okay, you'll be tested on that.
Kiddush.
Okay. Now, I want everyone to make sure this is Shabbos Nachamu. Everybody is very happy on Shabbos Nachamu, but nobody knows why they're happy on Shabbos Nachamu. The purpose of Shabbos Nachamu is to celebrate your emunah in awaiting the coming of Mashiach. So in order for you to properly enjoy Shabbos Nachamu, you have to have this sefer. So you know, you're thinking about the Kiddush this week. You can't even make a Kiddush until you get the sefer Tzipis Yeshua. If you want a proper, they should be giving them out. Now, if you say you don't want to pay for it, so you know the deal. You could actually, instead of paying for it, pay for two of them, okay? By going to marbitzetorah1@gmail.com. They told me today they've already given it out to 243 people, okay? But they would like to give it out to more people. They just need someone to cover it. So, what?
Is that the one you gave out last week?
Yeah. So go to marbitzetorah1@gmail.com. M-A-R-B-E-I. No, I'm going to tell you how to spell that. No. M-A-R-B-I-T-Z-E-I. That's Marbitzei. M-A-R-B-I-T-Z-E-I. Torah. T-O-R-A-H. @gmail. Okay? I just want people to learn the Sefer. And my friend will be very happy to send it to you. Okay. Parshas Vo'eschanan. Moshe Rabbeinu davened many times for the following privilege. You know, if you were to hear that somebody davened for something, you know, sometimes you hear somebody davened for something 40 days, they went to the Kaisel for 40 days. They must really need something. But Moshe Rabbeinu davened not 4 times, not 40 times, not 400 times. He davened 515 times. What did he daven for? It must have been very important. He davened for the privilege to go into Eretz Yisrael. Like we mentioned many times, he wanted to go in to be Mekayim. See, the good thing about having loud conversations in the background is that your conversations will be preserved for eternity on TorahAnytime.com. So do me a favor, just mute your screen before you have loud conversations. So Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 times for the privilege to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem said, no, you can't go in. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, let me go in like an animal and graze the land. No, you can't go in. Moshe said, let me fly through the land like a bird. And Moshe was not zoicha to go in. Throughout history, so many great luminaries yearned to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. There have been movements throughout history, Of course, Avraham Avinu was the first one who was zeicha to go to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu so badly wanted to go, and he was going to say that 516th tefillah, and Hashem said, Rav Lach, don't say it, don't say it. And interestingly, the Baal Shem was on the way to Eretz Yisrael, and he turned back in Turkey when he was at the kever of Rav Naftali Katz. Today we're going to learn about the Vilna Gaon's attempt to travel to Eretz Yisrael somewhere approximately in the year 1778. Okay, so if you want to put it into more modern history, this is shortly after the American Revolution. Okay, 1778. And the Vilna Gaon traveled from Vilna, from Lithuania, and mysteriously he ended up very west. He ended up very west. We even have a record that the Vilna Gaon made it to Amsterdam. He was in Holland. Now, what was he doing there? That's not how you go to Eretz Yisrael. You don't go from Lithuania to Holland. You go to Turkey, or you go to somewhere in maybe in Russia, and you take the ship to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to come to what the Gra maybe was doing in Amsterdam. But the Vilna Gaon, when he arrived in Königsberg, he wrote the following letter. We know it as the Igaras Hagra. The Igaras Hagra is considered like a classic sefer of Musar, where he gives his wife a rebuke, how his wife should treat the mother-in-law, how she should raise the children, how they should conduct themselves on Shabbos. You have to know, when the Gra left Vilna, he left his home with little children. You know, sometimes people say, should I go to Eretz Yisrael? What's going to be with the kids? The Gra didn't take them with him. He was not bringing them. He went on his own. He left his wife. He left his children. He left his mother. And he wrote what is known as the Igaras Hagra, or is known as Olam Latrufa. Take a look. Hinei anoshim noisim al kama shan mishvo mamay. Many people travel for many years for money. Manichim neshoiseim. They leave their wives. Vegam him navanad. And they just... They wander, b'choyser kol, missing everything. They don't have furniture, they don't have money, they don't have food. But says the Gaon, v'anid toido lokel, and I thank Hashem, noiseh l'aretz ha'kdoisha, I'm traveling to the Holy Land. Shahakol mitzapim l'roisa, everyone yearns to see it. Chemdas kol Yisrael, the desire of all of Israel. V'chemdas Hashem Yisbarach, the desire of Hashem. Kol ha'elyoinim v'hatachtoinim chukasim eileha, all the upper worlds, all the lower worlds, they're yearning to go to Eretz Yisrael. V'ani noiseh b'shalom, I'm traveling in peace. I'm traveling in peace. So this is the Vilna Gaon's letter he wrote in 1778 on his way, going from Vilna. This is not like today where, you know, to get to Eretz Yisrael, all you have to pay is $8,000 for a coach seat. You know, what's the big deal? And you sit, you know, you sit on the tarmac for a long time. No, back in the day, this was a very long, arduous trip. And this is the record we have of the Vilna Gaon's trip to Eretz Yisrael. In the world view of the Vilna Gaon, Eretz Yisrael occupied a very central place. The Vilna Gaon writes in the Aderes Eliyahu in next week's parasha, Iker kiyam ha-mitzvois taloi ba'aretz. The main fulfillment of mitzvois is only in Eretz Yisrael. Don't think, oh, at least I have tefillin, or at least I have tzitzis, or at least I have shofar, or at least I have Torah. No, all the mitzvahs are on a somewhat of a limited fulfillment if it's not in Eretz Yisrael. That was the worldview of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon said that the source of Torah, the host of Torah, the revelation of Torah is only in Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon writes in Aderes Eliyahu that the concept that Klal Yisrael is the most elevated of all nations, that ulasitcha elyain al kol hagoyim asher asa lesehila ulashem ulatiferes, the elevation of the Jewish people over all the nations of the world, what we read in this week's parsha, ki hichach maschem uvinaschem leinei ha'amim, is only when we're in Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon writes that all shefa in the world comes to the world through the medium of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, if you make money, it's coming from Shamayim to Eretz Yisrael and then through channels into Chutz Arts. This was the world view of the Vilna Gaon. Now, to get to Eretz Yisrael, you needed money. The Vilna Gaon did not have money. He borrowed money from numerous people to be able to travel to Eretz Yisrael. In the Hakdama of one of his great Talmidim, Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov. Yeah, you ever heard, you know that name? Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov is one of the leading Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. He records that when the Vilna Gaon aborted his trip. Mysteriously, the Vilna Gaon was in Amsterdam, was in Königsberg, he was about to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he returned. And the Vilna Gaon, when he returned, he made sure to pay everybody back. Now that's a very important principle. Principle is that you should not owe people money. Some people are very comfortable owing money. You should never owe money. When you go to sleep at night and your head is about to hit the pillow, you should think, do I owe anybody money? If I do, pay them back. You don't want to have that on you. But the Vilna Gaon made sure to pay everybody back before when he returned from his trip. And the million-dollar question is, why in the world the Vilna Gaon gave up everything? He gave up his family, he gave up his wife, right? He left his wife, he left his children, he embarked to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he turned around. Why did he turn around? What happened? Why did he go? You know, it's very unusual. The Baal Shem Tov, he was about to go. He was at the kever of the Smichas Chachamim in Turkey. The Smichas Chachamim told him, go back. I was also at the Smichas Chachamim's kever, but I didn't get that message. But the Baal Shem Tov in Turkey, that's why it's such a chashuva kever for Hasidim, because that kever is created Hasidus. If not for that kever, the Baal Shem Tov would have ended up in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, in the Hakdama of the Bir Hagra in Shulchan Aruch, the Gra's children say that when our father was older, we asked him many, many times, Abba, why didn't you go to Eretz Yisrael? And you know what he answered? He didn't answer. And we pressed him, and the answer is, Ein li reshus min ha-shamayim. He was not given permission to go. Now the question is, what does that mean? Why wasn't he given permission? What does it mean he wasn't given permission? So, tonight we're going to explore seven reasons why the Vilna Gaon did not go to Eretz Yisrael, and one of them is, heaven did not let him. I'm going to skip the most interesting one, we're going to come back to it at the end of the year. One of the Talmidei Hagra wrote about the Gra and his Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, called Aliyos Eliyahu, and in a footnote in Aliyos Eliyahu, in Ois Peivav, he brings the reason why the Vilna Gaon did not go into Eretz Yisrael is, what is the halacha if Gentiles own land in Eretz Yisrael? Is the produce chayiv in Trumas and Maaseros or not? We are lenient. We do not take off Trumas and Maaseros on peros that grow in Eretz Yisrael that are owned by a Gentile. However, the Vilna Gaon was machmir midrabanan. So you say, great. Why is that a reason not to go to Eretz Yisrael? The reason is because even though the Mabit wanted to establish that minhag, the Beis Yosef put in Cherem anybody who is machmer on the Trumas and Masras of land that is owned by a guy. The Beis Yosef didn't want people to be machmer on it. He said anyone who's machmer on this halacha should be put into Cherem. Sometimes people wonder, you know, what's wrong with being machmer on this? You're not always allowed to be machmer. You're not always allowed to be machmer. For example, Rav Tarfon wanted to be machmer and lean when he said Shema, and the Mishnah says in Brachos that he was liable to a death penalty. It's not always correct to be machmer. Sometimes it's downright usur to be machmer. Let's say your Rebbe is not machmer on it. You're not allowed to be strict in his presence. It's not derech eretz. The Beis Yosef put in Cherem. The Beis Yosef put in Cherem anyone who's machmer on Shumas HaMaisus, on land in Eretz Yisrael, owned by a guy. Beis Yosef says, yet we know, like the Rambam, to pater a land owned by a guy, ad sheyovai ha-goyal, like it says in the Tshuva L'Shita Mekubetzes. And therefore, the Vilna Gaon did not want to be lenient, but he wasn't able to be strict, so he had to stay home.
But didn't he know that before he left?
Apparently he didn't know that before he left. Or he found out when he was at the port, ready to go. This was not something the Vilna Gaon was aware of. Obviously, otherwise he wouldn't have left in the first place. Now, it's a little bit difficult to hear that this is the reason.
How could you be machmir on a guy who's field? He's not going to listen to you.
If you buy the produce from him,
right,
you would have to take off chuma semaisos before you eat it.
Or from whatever you buy.
Yeah. So now, just let's think about this for a second. Is this a reason not to go live in Eretz Yisrael? Let's think for a moment. If living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chiyuvis, and you're obligated to go live there, so it's the Vilna Gaon could go to Eretz Yisrael, and he could not eat fruits. So don't eat fruit. Don't eat apples. I know most people today don't eat apples. Don't eat it. So the Vilna Gaon needed to eat grain. He's going to have to take chumama. So be lenient. Isn't it better to be lenient on a chumra midrabanan than to live in Brooklyn and violate a Isser Dairaisa of living out of Eretz Yisrael? You have a chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein happens to say there is no chiyuv to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's if you live there, you fulfill a mitzvah, but you're not obligated to go live there. But most poskim do not agree with that. Rav Avadia writes, it's an obligation to go. So if the Vilna Gaon held it was an obligation to go, would it still be a valid reason not to go because he wouldn't be able to be machmer on a drabanan? Wouldn't you think it's better not to violate a chiyav d'oraisa? Okay, I'm just pointing out. That's the first proposal why the Vilna Gaon did not go to Eretz Yisrael. This is quoted by the Radal, Rav David Luria. Another perush, another explanation that is said, is that how's the Gra going to get to Eretz Yisrael? He's going to have to travel by ship. On the ship, there are bugs, there are ants, there are worms, and they get into the bread. So what? They get into the bread. No, the Gra was afraid that if he would travel by ship and it would be over Shabbos, he wouldn't be able to eat three meals on Shabbos. Yes, but at least, can you eat mezoinos for Shalosh Shudas? No, you can't eat mezoinos for Shalosh Shudas. Really? No one could eat mezoinos for Shalosh Shudas? No. If your mother is not Jewish, then you could eat mezoinos for Shalosh Shudas. But if your mother, if you're born a Jew, and you're given a circumcision, and you are Jewish, you have to wash three times on Shabbos. Once Friday night, one Shabbos day, and once by Shalosh Shudas. Say, really? I'm not hungry. Only if you want to get parnasa during the week. You see, each meal that you eat, it supplies you with parnasa for 2 days. If you jip out on Shalosh Shudas, what could you do? Hashem wants to give you a livelihood. It's just you're not letting him because you're closing the channels. But you got to wash three times on Shabbos. You're not hungry? Eat less Shabbos morning. You're really not hungry? You say, how do you eat five slices of pizza 5 minutes after Shabbos? The answer is, you do have a little bit of room. You're able to do it. I think you could squeeze it in. You could have like a half a roll. I think you could find the room. Anyway, the Gra was afraid that... What? Chosen? Yeah. If you're a member of the chosen people, the Am HaNivchar, then you would have to... Okay, so that was another reason why the Gra did not want to go, because he would have to be mevatel three meals on Shabbos. Let's think about that for a moment. Is that really a reason not to go to Eretz Yisrael? If by living in Eretz Yisrael, you're mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa every moment you're living there, and if you're going to travel there, you're going to miss maybe one or two Shabbosim of not having three pas on all three sudais. Having bread by all three sudais is probably not d'oraisa. According to some rishonim, having it's d'oraisa, but I think we paskin fundamentally it's only a drabanan. So wouldn't it be worthwhile to move to Eretz Yisrael and live there for many, many, many years, being mekayim a mitzvah for many years, at the expense of losing out of shalosh sudais? So. Is that really a real reason why the Vilna Gaon would not have gone to Eretz Yisrael? Because he was afraid to lose out three sudais. It's hard to understand that reason. If somebody would ask me, they have the opportunity. Let's say somebody would say, you know, I heard about a good Maggid Shir in Eretz Yisrael where I would really grow from learning the whole year. But I'm afraid if I would go to Eretz Yisrael, I might miss washing by one of the Shabbos meals. I think we would tell him he should go. So I'm just pointing out this reason. Maybe it's not so easy to comprehend why this would be a reason not to go live in Eretz Yisrael. Here's another reason. You ready for this? Yeah. Another reason, it's brought in the Sefer, the biography of the Vilna Gaon, Hagoyin HaChassid Mivilna. This comes from a letter that is attributed to Rav Shmuel of Salant. And we once spoke about this many years ago, about 5 years ago. What's the halacha if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos? Do you blow shofar? No, really? What about in Yerushalayim? Do you blow shofar in Yerushalayim if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos? You know, the opinion of the Rif is, if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, you blow shofar in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger wanted and tried to reinstitute Tekiah Shofar in Yerushalayim when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. The Vilna Gaon endorsed that opinion. The Vilna Gaon holds that if Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, you're going to have to blow Shofar. The year 1778 was the year where Rosh Hashanah came out on Shabbos. The Gra was afraid that he's going to end up going to Eretz Yisrael and they're not going to blow Shofar. So therefore, he didn't want to be mevatel the mitzvah saseh d'oraisa of tkiah shofar. So you say, he doesn't. So don't go to Yerushalayim that year. So stay out of Yerushalayim. He had to. Why did he have to go to Yerushalayim? He could have spent the night in Ramat Beit Shemesh, RBS 3. You know, why did he have to go to Yerushalayim? See, that's where he lived. So it's worthwhile. So first of all, it says that the Gro was afraid that the Rabbanim wouldn't agree with him. Okay, so if they wouldn't agree with him, he wouldn't be able to blow the shofar. He would be an oynas. So it's worthwhile not to go to Eretz Yisrael, because if he would go there, he's mevatel the mitzvah of shofar. So that's another reason that is attributed why the Vilna Gaon did not want to go to Eretz Yisrael.
Why was it stopped in Yerushalayim?
Why was it stopped?
Yeah.
Nobody lived in Yerushalayim for many hundreds of years. So the question is, do you blow? We know that when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar because you might carry. But there's an idea that in Yerushalayim, where you have the Beis Din HaGadol, that decree was not made. It's a question in halacha. The Rif says you blow shofar in Yerushalayim when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. The Vilna Gaon agreed with that. He was afraid if he would return to Eretz Yisrael and to Yerushalayim, they would not allow him to fulfill his opinion. So that's another reason. That's the fourth reason that we're giving why the Vilna Gaon did not return to Eretz Yisrael. Here's a fifth reason. Fifth reason is, in the beginning of the 16th century, there was a man by the name of Rabbi Yaakov Barav. Rabbi Yaakov Barav was the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. And Rabbi Yaakov Barav had an einfall. He had a new idea. And the reason for his idea is, this is in the aftermath of the Spanish Inquisition. In the aftermath of the Inquisition, many Jews had a very guilty conscience, because they know they were masquerading as Christians in Spain. And they felt they really were, they were conversos, and they were under false cover. And a Jew is not allowed to say that they're a member of another faith in order to save their life. It's Yehorek Ve'al Yavar. It might even be a Chiv Kares. It's Avay Dezara. So they had a very guilty conscience, many of these Jews who came to Eretz Yisrael, thinking that they have the looming sin of Kares on their back. So is there any way for a person to exempt themselves from kares? Yes. Anyone who gets malchus is now exempt from kares. The thing is, no Beis Din is allowed to give malchus. Why can't a Beis Din not give malchus? Because in order to give malchus, you have to have genuine smicha. And even if you go to like these halacha programs today, whether you go to the halacha program in the Young Israel of Woodmere, or you come to my halacha program, which by the way, called Chavra de Hilchasa, which we're finishing year one, Basar B'Chalav. We're starting in a few weeks, year two, Taruvais. If you want to join us for Taruvais, actually this year, we're expanding the program to Taruvais, two programs of Hilchas Shabbos, and a program of Hilchas Nida. So if you want more information, could let us know. But smicha, there's no such thing as smicha today. Smicha today is a formality. Even if you go, in my yeshiva, you have to learn there like many, many years until you're even allowed to learn for smicha. You know? You have to be there 7 years and learn X number of lat even before you let. None of this is real smicha. You know? It's all a formality. Some shuls, when they interview a rabbi, they say, do you have smicha? There's no such thing as smicha. Smicha is a rabbi takes a piece of paper, he makes a line, and he signs his name on it. That's the value of the smicha. Now, depending how much the paper costs, if it costs 24 cents, the smicha is worth 24 cents. If the paper costs a dollar, the smicha is worth a dollar.
Maybe they meant blanket. In Hebrew, smicha is a blanket.
Well, smicha is v'samach yadoy al roish hapar, you know? But real smicha is a ordination that dates back in time to Moshe Rabbeinu. Only a bezin that has real smicha could administer malchus. If you don't, but the thing is, the smicha was severed in the time of the Amoraim, and so no bezin could give malchus anymore. Rav Yaakov Barav had a chiddush based on the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos that if the majority of the Chachmei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael agreed to reinstate smicha, they could do it. So that Rabbi Yaakov Barav gathered the Beis Yosef and Rav Moshe Mitrani and other Gedolim, and they reinstated smicha to be able, for one of the main reasons was to be able to give malchus to people who needed to get off a chiyuv kares. That was one of the main reasons. The Vilna Gaon, legend has it, supported reinstating smicha. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael to reinstate smicha. Because even though, by the way, Rav Yaakov Barav had a very fierce opponent, his opponent was the Mahalbach. The Mahalbach. He said, you can't have the majority of Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. You need to have the majority of Chachamim in the world to reinstate the smicha. And he said, nobody asked me. We spoke about this 10 years ago. The smicha controversy in the times of the Beis Yosef. The Vilna Gaon, it's reported that Rav Shmuel Salan said, the Vilna Gaon wanted to go to Israel to reinstate smicha. But then, when he got to Königsberg, and he heard what the leaders in Eretz Yisrael were like, and what kind of politics he's going to have to deal with, and he realized there's no way he can make any changes, the Vilna Gaon turned around, he made an about face, he made a 180 turn, and he went back to Eretz Yisrael. He went back to Vilna. Vilna. He went back to Vilnius. He wanted to reinstate smicha, but when he realized he would not be able to, he went home. Rav Menachem Kasher, in the 16th edition of Torah Shlema, says that after examining this letter and examining other letters signed by Rav Shmuel Salant, he's kicking himself that he actually thought it was a real letter. Now, examining other signatures of Shmuel Salant, he sees that Rav Shmuel Salant never said this. This is attributed to him, they blame it on him, but this is not a real reason why the Vilna Gaon did not go to Eretz Yisrael. It's a little bit hard to believe this is the reason he wanted to go. You would think he wanted to go to Mekayim the Mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. This was his main tafkid. It's interesting, in one of the earliest printings of the Igeres Hagra, Rav Shoshan, or Rav Sasson, says the Vilna Gaon wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, I love this, I'm good with this, but I don't think it could be true. The Vilna Gaon wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael to daven at Kivrei Tzadikim. Kishanasa la'avor be'eretz hakdoisha levaker u'leshtateach al kivrei hachasidim v'hatzadikim. That's hard to believe that that's why the Vilna Gaon wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon writes in the Igeres Hagra, in the letter that he wrote to his children and his wife on the way to Eretz Yisrael, that they should not pray by any kvarim, and you're not allowed to pray by kvarim, and all the troubles come from going to kvarim. So it's hard to imagine that's why the Vilna Gaon was going. Even though Rav Sternbuch says that even the Gro would agree that nowadays to daven at Kibbutz Tzadikim, it's admirable, it's worthy, but it's hard to say that's why the Gro went to Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Vilna Gaon wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael? When he writes in the letter that he wrote going to Eretz Yisrael, telling his family not to go to Kvarim, that's one of the important things he wrote in the letter. Because there's Kayach HaTumah there.
In a Jewish cemetery?
Yes. What does a Jewish cemetery mean? The cemetery is Jewish?
Where the tzaddikim are buried.
Yeah. There's Kayach HaTumah there. Yeah. And you know who else says not to daven by Kfarim? The Arizal. But I'm just pointing out, it's hard to imagine that's the reason the Vilna Gaon wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael.
They don't say Kaddish when they bury you.
No, but you know why?
Why?
Because they didn't go.
No, anywhere. You say Kaddish when you bury somebody, you have 10 people.
Yeah, but they would say not to have 10 people.
Really?
Yeah. But we don't do that. Here's another reason, a sixth reason, why the Vilna Gaon decided not to go to Eretz Yisrael. Let's get a little bit of the history. For the most part, Ashkenazim were not allowed to live in Yerushalayim. For over 100 years, there were no Ashkenazim who lived in Yerushalayim. If you were an Ashkenazi and you moved to Yerushalayim, you had to become a Sephardi. Otherwise, the Muslims did not allow Ashkenazim to live in Yerushalayim. Here's the problem. The Vilna Gaon wanted to go to Yerushalayim. If he's going to go to Yerushalayim, the only way he'd be able to daven Nusach Ashkenaz, he wouldn't daven any other Nusach, obviously. The only way he would be able to follow his minhagim and halachos is if there were a bezdin. If there is no bezdin, the only time you're allowed to practice two different sets of minhagim if you have two batei dinim. If you don't have two batei dinim, what do you call if you have a bezdin of sfardim and Ashkenazim come and they want to do their thing? That is called lois suskai to do. It is an iser da iraisa to establish different practice than the prevalent practice, unless it's the makam sheyesh shtei batei dinim. It's a gemara in Yevamos and in other places that in order to observe different types of practice and halacha, you need to have two different courts. If the Vilna Gaon would have come to Yerushalayim, he would not have been able to follow any of his halachic rulings because there's no bezdin set up there, and whatever he would have tried to do would have been a violation of lois suskai to do. So he couldn't go. That seems like a reasonable reason why the Gro would not go to Eretz. So if he's going to go, he's going to go to Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, he's stuck. Now he's going to become a Sfardi. The Vilna Gaon is going to come to Eretz and become a Sfardi. What nusach is he going to daven? He's going to say V'yatzmach? No. Better to stay in Vilna. Yeah? The Vilna Gaon wouldn't do that. So,
what are we talking, 16th century?
We're talking 18th century, 1778.
Okay.
Yeah? What? That for sure not.
So
yeah.
How is it that it's done today?
What's done?
You have different nusachim. You have.
Because in one city you have two batei dinim. It's like you have two batei dinim. In other words, you need to have a established. You need to have an established presence of your practice, otherwise you cannot observe your practice.
There is no batei dinim today.
Yeah, I mean, look, the way Rav Moshe says it is, let's say you're in a shul, and on Chol HaMoed, and you don't put on tefillin, and the shul puts on tefillin, you can't be there. You're not allowed to be there. Or if they don't put on tefillin, you're not allowed to put on tefillin there. You have to go behind the mechitza. No, you can't do that. Really? Can't. Yeah. So so that would be a problem of lois suskai to do. Okay. The really interesting answer of why the Vilna Gaon did not go into Eretz Yisrael, also it's hard to understand, but it's connected to this week's parsha. And that is, you know, if you look in the letters of the Chazon Ish, Igeres Lamed Beis. Chazon Ish says that we look at the Vilna Gaon like Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra HaSoifer, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Ravina Ravashi, the Rambam, and the Vilna Gaon. These are the words of the Chazon Ish. This is the general Mesoiras HaTorah. It doesn't matter who you affiliate with. This is the tradition of Torah. Okay, you got it? Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra HaSoifer, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Ravina Ravashi, the Rambam, the Vilna Gaon. So I just want you to focus on those words, because the Mekubalim say the real reason the Vilna Gaon did not go into Eretz Yisrael is because he was a nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed into Eretz Yisrael, the Gaon, who is like the Moiser HaTorah to the Doirei Soachroinim, he also was not given Rishus to go into Eretz Yisrael. Many Achroinim ask on this, and the Radal asks on this, really, Moshe Rabbeinu? But the Rashbi was also a nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. So what's the difference between the Rashbi and the Gra? So in the Sefer, Oitzer Plois HaTorah, he says, oh, there's a big difference. It's anyone who's a nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're in Chutz La'aretz, they can't go into Eretz Yisrael. The Rashbi was already there. You know, so he stays there. The Rashbi was already there. Then there's a story that the Vilna Gaon sent a letter to a tzaddik nister named Reb Leib. I guess if you can't beat him, join him. This is a legend, okay? It's printed in the official biography of the Vilna Gaon. It sounds like from a story tape, but it's in the official biography of the Vilna Gaon. The Gaon wanted a certain tzaddik nistar, a Reb Leib, to join him on his trip to Eretz Yisrael. So he sent a shliach, an emissary, to go to a certain city and find Reb Leib. So the emissary comes to the city, he says, where's Reb Leib? Where's Reb Leib? And everyone said, there's no Reb Leib in the city. There's no Reb Leib. Until finally, this emissary meets up with a certain prince in the city, a wealthy Jewish man, and he said, look, you know, I'm stuck. I was sent by the Vilna Gaon to search for a Reb Leib. He said, Reb Leib? And the emissary said, I heard that he works for you. Works for me? I make vodka. I have a vodka factory. There's no Reb Leib who works in the vodka. You mean Leibka, the vodka maker? No, the Vilna Gaon, he's not sending a message to Leibka, the vodka maker. So the emissary says, look, I'm out of options. Let me meet this guy. So he said, okay, lots of luck. So he goes into the vodka factory, and sitting next to the vodka machine is Leib. And Leib is saying Tehillim, and the emissary says, I have a letter for you. And, you know, the princess is like laughing, letter? Nobody writes letters to this guy. He can't even read. And he opens up the letter, and he rips up the letter. So the emissary says, "What? This is a letter from the Vilna Gaon. What do you have to say about it?" He doesn't say anything. He doesn't respond to the guy. So the emissary, what am I supposed to tell the Vilna Gaon? The Vilna Gaon told me, I cannot leave until I get an official response from you. He wants you to join him on his trip to Eretz Yisrael. And the Reb Leibka said, it's not needed. Not needed. What does that mean? It's not needed. And he said, even he will not be able to get there. Even he will return. So there's this legend that this tzaddik nistar was able to forecast into the future that Reb Leibka, that the Vilna Gaon would not be able to make it to Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, the Vilna Gaon passed away in 1797, 229 years ago. And many of his Talmidim after his... You see, the Vilna Gaon originally sent the first group of Talmidei Hagra was the grandfather of Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov, Rabbi Azriel Mishkalov. He went He went already in 1772, even before the Vilna Gaon attempted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And then 10 years after the Vilna Gaon passed away, was the first wave of Talmidei Hagoyin who went to Eretz Yisrael, first in Tav Kuf Samaches, 1808. That was led by Rav Menachem Mendel Mishkalov. And then in 1809, the Talmidei Hagoyin came to Eretz Yisrael. They were led by Rav Sadia bar Rav Nosson Nata. And then in 1810, you had the third group led by Rav Yisrael Mishkalov. And they started out, they went to Tveria. Now the Hasidim were already in Tveria. It's very interesting. The Talmidei Baal Shem Tov were in Tveria. Now when the Talmidei Hagra get to Tveria and they finally see Ashkenazim, they're hoping, okay, you know, we can't go to Yushalayim. Yushalayim, they only have Sfardim. At least we'll be able to join the Ashkenazim in Tveria. The thing was that the Yishuv Ashkenazi in Tveria was established by Talmidei, the Maggid of Mizrich, and they had different minhagim, and they followed different halachos, and Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov could not stay there. So where did he go? He went to Tzfas. So the Purushim of Tzfas and the Talmidei Hagra, they eventually went to Tzfas. And in 1816, Rav Menachem Mendel Mishkalov went from Tzfas to Yerushalayim and started for the first time in over 100 years the Ashkenazic settlement in Yerushalayim. Now, what was the Vilna Gaon doing in Amsterdam? Because that's not the typical way that somebody would go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so this is the first part of the shir. This is the shir part of the shir. What I just told you is the shir of the shir, meaning like the Torah of the shir. Why didn't the Vilna Gaon go to Eretz Yisrael? We explored seven reasons. He told his children, Shamayim doesn't let him. The Aliyos Eliyahu brings, he was a nitzitz of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a reason he couldn't be machmir on Trumas HaMasros, on land owned by a guy. He couldn't be machmir, he would not be able to have pass by all the sudas of Shabbos. He would not be able to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalios b'Shabbos. Another reason is he would not be able to reinstate smicha, or it would be a problem of loisus goy didu to live in Yerushalayim. But the Vilna Gaon made a very certain, now, so the next part now is more history, a little bit conjecture, I would say. There's a sefer on the Vilna Gaon by Aryeh Morgenstern. It's a very interesting sefer. And it's a little bit, this is his theory. The Vilna Gaon, we have a record, was in Holland. What was he doing in Holland? He's in the library in Holland. What's he looking for? He's trying to learn the commentary of the Ramak on the Zohar. The commentary on the Ramak on the Zohar is called Or Yakar. Even though the Vilna Gaon was the one who said where the Kabbalah of the Ramak ends, that's where the Kabbalah of the Arizal begins, but the Gra wanted to know everything. The Gra knew all disciplines. The Gra knew Pshat, Remez, Drush, Soid. The Gra knew botany. He knew sciences, he knew music, the Gra knew everything, although he was not in favor of philosophy. He did not favor philosophy. In any event, the Gra went to Amsterdam to be able to get a hold of certain manuscripts. He wanted to get Pirkei Hecholos, which is a Kabbalistic work attributed to Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. There are two things we know about the Vilna Gaon that he wanted to do and heaven didn't let him. Number one, he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Heaven didn't let him. Number two, he wanted to establish a new Shulchan Aruch. That whenever there's a machlokes rishonim, and we don't know what to do. Do we follow this achrayim, that achrayim? Do we follow the Ramah? Do we follow the Taz? The Gra wanted to take every single machlokes rishonim and come out with a decisive conclusion. It seems like part of the reason the Vilna Gaon wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael is connected to his desire to establish a definitive ruling on all halachic matters and make a new Shulchan Aruch. The two things are connected with each other. And the reason he wanted to do both is to expedite the coming of Mashiach. Many of the Hasidim earlier, you know, it's interesting, they felt that Mashiach was going to come during that time. It's interesting, around the time that the United States of America was founded, during the 1770s, they felt it was ripe for Mashiach to come. The Vilna Gaon at first, you know, it's interesting, the Vilna Gaon did not start teaching Talmidim until he decided not to go to Eretz Yisrael and to go back to Vilna. if you look in his letter is written to his children and to his wife. What about his Talmidim? He was, at first, the Vilna Gaon's focus was to try to expedite the coming of Mashiach through creating uniform observance of halacha in Eretz Yisrael. He felt that the uniform observance, that Klal Yisrael needs to come together, and everyone together fulfilling halacha correctly, not what everybody, this is what his father does, and this is what his third cousin does. Everyone needs to be fulfilling correct, authoritative, definitive halacha. So the Vilna Gaon wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael and establish definitive halacha and expedite the coming of Mashiach. When that didn't work out, the Vilna Gaon had an approach to bring the Geula by spreading Torah and teaching his Talmidim. All of his teaching of Talmidim was when he turned back and he came to back to Vilna. He established a Beis Medrash. He learned with different Talmidim privately, whether Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Baal Chayei Adam. This was, so to speak, a new approach that the Gra developed when he decided ultimately not to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Again, it's interesting that, just think about it, when he's going to Eretz Yisrael, this stop in Amsterdam was to for him to complete his knowledge of Kabbalah, because he felt that the complete mastery of Torah and the uniform observance of Torah of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael is what was needed to expedite the Geula. But as we see that, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, who was not zoicha to go into Eretz Yisrael, this was not something that the Vilna Gaon was zoicha to either, or the Baal Shem Tov. And so nowadays, if you can make it there, so you're going to a place, even Moshe Rabbeinu, even the Vilna Gaon, we're not zoicha to. But in order to get there, it requires a lot of tefillah, and Be'ezus Hashem, we shall all be zoicha, that Hashem should bring us all there, Bekarev Mamish, and wish everybody bracha v'atzlacha. Have a good night. Call them.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.